And I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July. And I don't know how many of you received the prayer request this morning, but let's be in prayer for Austin Calfee and ask the Lord to be with him. There was some problems with fireworks, I believe it was. And so let's just ask the Lord to watch over him, help the doctors to treat him correctly, and that he may be able to get home quickly. And so let's remember that. Go ahead and open your Bibles this morning, if you will, to Matthew 22. We're going to start here, but then we're going to immediately jump over to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm not starting the lessons on the home just yet, but we're working our way into it. And please continue to pray for me. I appreciate all of you that have told me you've been praying for me. Please don't stop. And I can say it jokingly, but I mean it seriously. Don't stop praying for me. And let's don't stop praying for one another, asking the Lord to help us to be what God would have us to be, that we would represent Christ well. And so let's remember that. Brother Randy, would you open us in prayer, brother?
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Please go with us today and learn about you, Lord. And the whole purpose is to uplift your name and spread your word, Lord. Please go throw the bag today. Lead us, guide us, do some truth, Lord. We'll give you all the praise and glory of Jesus Christ, and I pray.
Amen. 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 You've heard this, I'm sure, through preaching throughout the years. If you read the Bible, you'll understand this as well. But the home has an effect on the church. And we need to realize that each and every one of our families has a direct effect on this church. And so it's very important that we maintain the right relationship with Christ. If the home isn't right with God, it hinders the church from being right with God. And a lot of times we don't want to think past our own family, do we? A lot of times we don't want to think past our own problems or how our problems, if we do not deal with them, or whatever is not right in our life, if we don't deal with that, it will affect our church family. And I don't want to be guilty of that, and I hope you don't want to be guilty of that. And as I've also said, and as you've heard other preachers say, the church affects the nation. I believe it was Brother Alexander was teaching the other night, or preaching the other night, you know, it is the church's fault that our nation is in the shape that she is in. But that goes down, and it breaks down to us individually as well. And so I want to encourage you to let's remember that and ask the Lord to help us. But here in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, begin reading there. Let me know when you're there by saying amen.
Amen.
Master, which is the great commandment in the law? I'm in verse 36. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Of course, he's referring to the Old Testament, the scriptures. And it's very important that we understand the commandments that, you know, there's 617 commandments in the Old Testament. Everybody likes to talk about the Ten Commandments that the Lord gave Moses on Mount Sinai. Jesus brought it down just to two commandments in generality. And how many of you have a hard time with these two commandments? We can say we don't. We'll be liars. But, you know, I have a hard time loving people I don't know. What about you? Okay? But God commands me to love my neighbor. It didn't say love your good neighbor. It didn't say love your saved neighbor. It says love your neighbor. And then it gives a qualification there, as you love yourself, as thyself. So keep that in mind. Now let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at the relationship of the husband and wife, but more importantly, Christ and the church. Now again, the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, is what likens the marriage unto the relationship of Jesus and his church. And so these are things that we need to concentrate upon. And of course, we will get into the family teaching probably here in a couple of weeks, so keep praying for me. I hope this is not boring to you. That is not my goal. My goal is to go into depth in these things. So, you know, a lot of times we just look at generalities, and because we don't really think about it, ponder upon it, that may be why we don't put much emphasis on what we should. And our homes should not be a battlefield. Our home should be a place of peace and joy. and full of the Spirit. And that people would come and they could feel that they're in a refuge when they come, to our, especially our children or family members. They come to our home, they should know that it is a place of refuge. And yet, I'm sure you know many families, as I do, that it's just an outright war every time you go over there. There's no peace in the home. There's no joy. There's no tranquility. There's always problems and just things that are out of whack. And God's not pleased with that. And it's up to us to control that. Amen? You can either be a thermostat or you can be a thermometer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All right, you know, the thermostat controls the temperature, but the thermometer reacts to the temperature. Let's don't be a reactor. Let's be somebody that controls what's going on, and that starts by controlling ourselves. And, buddy, that's a task in itself, isn't it? And so just keep that in mind. But Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 21. And again, I'm glad you're here this morning, and appreciate the beautiful day the Lord has given us. And I'm just looking forward to what all the Lord has in store for us today throughout all the services. And I just find it, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord, and I hope you are as well. But here it is in verse 21. And of course, a lot of men like to skip over this. A lot of preachers even skip over this. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, we should never be selfish in our relationships. We should never be selfish. And the problem is, naturally speaking, we are selfish. It is all about me, naturally speaking. Well, how is this going to affect me when we get to that place? But Christ was never that way, was he? He deserved for it to be that way. It is all about him. And we should recognize that. But when he gave us his example by being on this earth and walking and doing his ministry that the Lord gave him to come and to seek and save sinners and to die on the cross to pay for our sins, he submitted himself unto the Father, and he even submitted himself to others. And for our Lord and Savior to do that, who is the Almighty, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he left us a wonderful example that we should live after and strive to be like. But we should submit ourselves one to another. And then it gets a little bit more specific in verse 22. Now, men love this verse, or at least a lot of self-centered men like this verse, but this is still Bible. I've met a lot of women that don't like this verse, okay? And I'm not trying to step on any toes. I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I'm just going to give you what the Bible says, but what the Bible says, this is all here for a reason. God gave it to us. Now, if we ever come across scripture, it doesn't matter if it's this scripture or other scriptures that we don't like or teachings, we know it's in the Bible, but we just don't agree with it, is there a problem with that? Absolutely, there's a problem with that because we're not in agreement with God. And as Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And you can tell me you walk with God all you want, but if you despise his word or you don't want to admit or submit yourself to his word, then there's problems, and it's not with Brother Beck. It's with the Lord. And the same thing goes for me. It applies just as much for me as it does for anybody else. But keep that in mind. Here the Bible commands. Now this is God's, remember I talked about original intent when I first started teaching. This is what God says about the marriage as far as the relationship with the wife and the husband. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own. And I have drawn, you know, underlined this because I've had men that expect my wife to obey them. And I will say something, and sometimes she'll say something. And it's not to be disrespectful, but you know, a lot of times we just have the wrong idea. Wives, you're only to submit to your own husband, not to everybody else's. So keep that in mind, if you will. And then it goes on and gives clarification, as unto the Lord. Everything we do, every action we have, and it's easy to preach, every thought we have, everything we allow to leave out of our mouth, it ought to be done as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that would keep us from a lot of problems. That would keep us from a lot of heartache and mistakes and, you know, embarrassment and shame. That would just help us a whole lot if we would just remember that everything we do, it ought to be unto Christ. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. That's something we need to do. If we put the Lord sincerely first in our lives, we will not have any problem with any commandment that he gives us. Not a bit. It's when our own ugly, corrupted flesh gets involved, wants its way, that we start to think that we can ignore God's word. And you can ignore God's word. Don't misunderstand me. You can. But we will regret it. So wives, submit. That means that you are to yield to the authority over you. Now that is not popular at all in our day and age. Is it not? You know, you think about our society today and what the world has put upon the family. It tries to destroy the nuclear family. It tries to destroy the example that God gave as to what a family ought to be. And that's why we need to fight harder for our families. That's why we need to strive harder to teach our children what the family is really about and how each member is important, not only to the family, but to the body of Christ and to the cause of Christ and to our nation. Do you not think that all this indoctrination that's going on, do you think it's just by coincidence? No, Satan is busy. How many of you realize Satan doesn't take vacations? God doesn't take vacations either, praise the Lord. But Satan is busy, 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 busy. And he wants to teach our children. He wants to influence our children. And it's not for God. It's to destroy the family so he can destroy souls. Satan knows that his time is limited. He knows that he has already been defeated. But his tenacity, he is going to continue on. He's going to do all that he can to destroy as many as he can, to take as many as he can with him to hell. He's not the God of hell, by the way. He's going to be an inmate. And we need to realize that. But in the meantime, we have a lot of work to do. But we are to yield to that authority that is over us. Men, well, we'll get into it. Let me just keep going here. Wives, you are to submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. Now, there's a lot of debate that may try to pop up in your heart and your mind. Well, what if my husband? That's a good question. We ought to obey God rather than. If your husband is asking you to do things that are ungodly, that are sinful, do you have biblical reason not to submit to that? Absolutely. Absolutely. I want you to think about it. If it goes against God, we ought to obey God rather than men. God gives us that. God allows us to have that. And that is what God expects. Now, when we think of that, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. And again, you know, you may not know the husband, but God knows that husband. That ought to provoke you, and it's easy for me to say, I'm a husband, but I would hope that it would provoke you to pray more for that husband. Amen. To seek God's face more, not only in prayer, but through his word for that husband. It's natural for either the husband or the wife to try to change the other. Yes or no? Well, I'm going to fix this in them. No, you're not. You might for a little bit, but it won't last. God is the only one that can fix that person. God's the only one that can fix me. And to, even though I have the authority as a husband, and I should expect my wife to submit, again, it has to be dealing with, you know, does it go against God or not? But I have to realize that authority that God has given me makes me accountable to him. Yeah. Amen. I will stand before him. Yeah. Even though I'm saved, at the Bema seat, I will stand before him and give an account as to how I conducted my home, as to how I led my family, how I treated my wife, how I treated my children. Now, a lot of people, they don't want to think that far. You know, we live in a day and age where people just don't want to think anymore. They just want to go on and sell and hope for the best. Well, it's not going to happen without work. And we've got to do our best to do that. So, submitting yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. This is what God says. The husband has placed, the Lord has placed the husband as the head of the wife. But here is the correlation, even as Christ is the head of the church. Again, this is a spiritual comparison of the husband and wife with Christ and his bride, the church, the body of Christ, okay? The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Do all churches obey Christ? No. We're going to get, I hope we can plow a little bit, okay? Not all churches are right with Christ. Why? Because they haven't submitted themselves unto him. They haven't submitted themselves to his word and what his word commands us to do. We have tons and tons of churches, and we're talking about the church. We're learning about the church. But just because a place calls itself a church doesn't mean it's an obedient church. And it doesn't matter what the name is on the sign. What matters is, what do you do with the word of God? We are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. Is that good? It's not a trick question. It's a good. You ought to be a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, but are you a Bible-obeying church? We got to put it into practice. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command? Amen? So just keep this in mind. And again, we're doing a correlation here. God does establish these things, and when we start on the home, we'll get back into these verses and go over them. But the church needs to understand that Jesus Christ is the head. He is the authority over this body of believers. And I hope that you've already recognized that, accepted it, because it's very important. Verse 24 is still giving, examples as to what the wife should do. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, the advantage that the church has over the wife is that the church has a perfect husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's a wonderful thing. And men, we are to strive to be Christ-like. We ought to try to earn the respect of our family. We ought to try to earn the trust of our family, the love of our family. Why do we love Christ? Because he first loved us. Amen? That's the only way we can love him. When we realize that he loved us, that's why we love him. So here it is, talking about the wife. Notice, not one time was the wife commanded to love the husband in this. And I've mentioned this before. I've made comments on this before. But not once was the wife commanded to love the husband, but she was commanded to submit unto the husband. So, this in mind, Christ loves his church, does he not? But does the church always love Christ? No. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. So, if we're going to love Christ, if we're going to love the church, the body of Christ, husband, as we ought to, we need to love him, and by loving him, we will obey him, accepting his authority over us. And by the way, every bit of this is depending on our will, on our decisions, on our desires. No one is going to force you to live for God. Those that have been forced to live for God, guess what they do? They rebel against it. All right? That's why it's important we win our hearts and minds of those that we are ministering to, those that we are trying to raise up in the admonition of the Lord. And so keep that in mind, if you will. Now look at verse 25. Here it plainly gives a commandment to the husbands. Husbands, love your wives, notice this, even as Christ also loved the church. Do you see that? And gave himself for it. How did Jesus Christ give himself for the church? He died for it. How many of you have seen those relationships, and they're not pleasing, but it's a love-hate relationship between husband and wife? They love each other, but they cannot stand each other. Is that God's intent? I don't think so. From what I read in the Bible, it's not. But as we look at what the Word of God says, we need to keep these things in mind. But husbands, we are commanded to love our wives, even as Christ. Christ is my example as a husband. Christ, for all the husbands out there, Christ is your example. What did the church do to earn Christ's love? Has the church done anything to earn his love, to make him love us? Not a bit. But he chose to love us. He created us for himself. Please remember that. Many people are misinterpreting the word love today because of Satan's influence, because of his deceitfulness. The love that we're reading about here is agape love. There are several types of love, okay? Phileo or Philadelphia. What is that? What kind of love is that? Brotherly love. And there's others, okay? Porneo and things of that nature. We need to be very, very careful of what kind of love is being taught here. This is talking about a Christ-like love. Why Christ loves me, I'll never be able to, even though I know what the Bible says, I don't understand it. Okay? I know what the Bible says, but I can't grasp it in my mind. But I am very thankful for it. What about you? I mean, seriously, that he loves me, knowing every single thing about me. He still loves me. Hallelujah. Well, gentlemen, husbands, this is how we are to love our wives. And I'm glad that we have that perfect example of the Lord himself. Now, when we take consideration, he said that, you know, Christ gave himself for the church. I talked about a love-hate relationship. I have seen many marriages where the husband would be absolutely fine if something bad happened to the wife. It's not funny. I mean, we kind of want to laugh at it because of the seriousness of it, but it's very sad that this person that you said I do to, this person that you said and made a covenant before God with, that you're going to love them until death do you part. Right? I mean, that's the idea of it. It's an eternal love. And I'm thankful that God's love is unconditional. However, our love towards others, especially husbands towards their wives, may not be unconditional. And that's not right with the Lord. Jesus was willing to die for each and every one of us, even though we had sinned against him, even though we have betrayed him, we have not been faithful to him. Just think of these things. If Christ can still love us, can we not still love our spouse? That's something that we just need to ask the Lord to help us to ponder upon. I'm not asking you to accept it just because I'm up here saying it. Listen, this is something that's going to take work. It's going to take dying to self, which we need to do daily. We need to crucify ourselves daily so that we can walk in the Lord obeying what he would have us to do. But the Lord was so willing to show and demonstrate his love for us, he died for us. Amen. Husbands, are you willing to give your life on behalf of your wife? We should be willing to lay down our lives for our wives. Now remember Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. God wants us to be a living sacrifice. Okay? If it's necessary, we ought to be willing to give our lives for our wife. But can we give our lives to our wife by living? Absolutely we can. Absolutely. Should we protect our wives? Yes. Not only are we the head of the home, we're supposed to be the protector of the family. Our wife should be number one that we love in our home. There's only one exception to this. The only person that you should love more than your wife is Jesus Christ. Is God. Amen. Keep that in mind. Even Jesus warned that in comparison to our love to him, if we don't, and it says hate our wives, okay, but God's not expecting you to hate your wife as far as, you know, you despise her, you can't stand her. That's not what it's talking about, but you need to make sure that Christ is first in your life. Now, are all husbands putting Christ first in their life? Absolutely not. And I can't help what the world does. I can't help what the lost people do. I expect lost people to live and act like lost people. Why are we expecting lost people to act like righteous people? It's not going to happen until they come to know Christ. But we, having the Word of God to instruct us, we can live our lives in such a way that we are representing Christ in our home. Does Christ tell us that when we sin, that we can't approach Him? Now, our sin breaks that fellowship that we have with Him, but is He willing to restore it immediately? If we will come to Him, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I know it's hard to believe, but husbands, have we ever done something that our wife got mad at us about? Now, if you're a perfect husband like me, please, Lord, don't strike me dead. I'm not a perfect husband, but God can make me the husband that I should be. Have our wives, and ladies, this may be difficult for you to accept, have our wives done something that was actually wrong and against us? Why is it quiet? All right. I just want to know why it's quiet. But anyways, we all have wronged each other. Okay? But the thing is, are we going to allow that to divide us and to destroy us? Or are we going to be ready to forgive and not hold it over someone's head? Christ never has held a sin over my head. Satan has. I have held my own sins over my head. Anybody else deal with that? I'm glad that God says He forgets our sins. He throws them behind His back. He buries them in the deepest sea. He separates them as far as the east is from the west. But for some reason, I can't forget my sin. And I have a hard time forgiving my sin. And we all should be that way to an exception. God wants us to learn from it. Go on, move forward, and not let it destroy you. But if there's problems, and children don't realize this, and we should do our best not to argue in front of our children, but you're going to have arguments with your spouse. You're going to have disagreements because we are two different people. Possibly with two different ideologies that you were raised with. Is not the church made up of a bunch of different people from different backgrounds and different raisings, let me put it that way. I don't know if that's a great way to put that. I hope there's no English teachers in here tonight or this morning. But you get two people together. How can this church have unity? We're all different. We all have different preferences. But as I've pointed out before, listen, this ought to be the thing that we all unite behind. The Word of God. This is what's going to unify us. Do you know what's going to unify the husband and wife? The Word of God. The Word of God. A marriage without Christ will never be pleasing to the Lord. Can it survive divorce? Sure it can. But will it be what God wants? No. And so, keeping these things in mind, as the husbands are to love the wives, we're to give ourselves as Christ did for the church. But it doesn't stop there. Look at verse 26. That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water, notice the end there, by the Word. Do you need the Word of God in your marriage? Does the church need the Word of God to be the church that we need to be for our husband? Amen. Our spouse? Yes. And we will never be what we need to be if we stray from this, if we disobey what God told us to do. And so when we think about this, the husband's job, listen guys, that word sanctify means to make holy. To make holy. God is making the body of Christ holy as we submit to Him. Going back up to wives submitting to your own husband. Should we submit to Satan? Satan's not our husband. Christ is our husband. But have churches submitted unto Satan instead of Christ? Okay, is that considered spiritual adultery? I mean, seriously, there's more than just the surface layer on all this stuff. We can really dig down and get into it. But here, not only are we to love our Christ and be willing to die for her, we should also make sure that we sanctify and cleanse her. Man, this is talking about the church specifically here. What Christ does for the church. Do you have an unholy wife? Don't answer out loud, please. Do you have an unholy husband? The only thing that's going to make them holy is getting them into the Word. They need to be washed in the Word. Now, unfortunately, too many people have, there's been a relationship where one is unsaved and the other is saved. And of course, it talks about, I believe it's over in Corinthians, where the testimony of the saved one, whether it's the wife or the husband, they can influence their spouse and win them to Christ. That's a wonderful thing. It would be better if you make sure you married a saved person to begin with. That's just as easy as it can get. And you know what? Just being saved is not good enough. I've met a lot of people. We were talking to our grandson, I think it was yesterday. You know, he's 12. He's already starting to be a teenager. But we were talking to him, and he was letting us talk to him about biblical things, and that was a blessing. Hallelujah. But I'm like, can a person be saved and not be a Christian? And he stopped. Thankfully, he stopped, and he thought. He goes, yeah, I guess they could be saved and not be a Christian. I said, absolutely. There's a lot of saved people that don't live like Christians. Remember, they were called little Christ because of their actions. They were called little Christ not because they accepted Christ, but because they were living like Christ. Because they were carrying out the commission that Christ had given them. And in a marriage, a person may even be saved, but it doesn't mean that they're sanctified as far as what they ought to be. Now, God makes us sanctified completely at the moment of salvation in his eyes. But he begins to sanctify us from that moment that we accept Christ as our Savior and move forward. Maybe you understand what I'm saying. I don't want to, you know, lose you. Sometimes I don't word things exactly right. But we're in a process of sanctification, but also the marriage, the relationship with the husband and the wife, that should be a process of sanctification as well. I should be closer to Christ as a husband in our marriage today than I was when we got married. Our wives should be closer to Christ today than the day we got married if they are living for Christ. And that's what gives us the home that we need to have. And that, by the way, will help our church body. To help sanctify it. Because if we're getting sanctified and our brothers and sisters are getting sanctified, guess what? We're getting sanctified together. And we're working towards the image of Christ. That we can please and be pleasing in his sight. But here, sanctify her. Wash her by the word. Washing of water by the word. Now here, think about this. Christ, the goal of the church, he might present it to himself a glorious church. Men, are you working? Boy, I got conviction right here. Are you working to help your wife, to encourage your wife, so that you can present her to yourself? Notice what it says. A glorious church. In other words, are you edifying your wife? Are you encouraging your wife? Are you tongue-lashing your wife? Are you telling your wife how unworthy and worthless she is? A lot of times we can get caught up in that, can't we? Good, it needs to be quiet. But we do need to ponder on this. Listen, we're to, as the church, we're to edify one another. Should not husbands and wives edify one another? But unfortunately, Satan has crept in so much in the marriages that they're tearing each other down, either directly to one another's face or to the outside friends. The most important relationship you have, if you're married, yes, Christ is number one, but your marriage is the number one thing that you need to be focusing on. Not outside friends. And that's hard for a lot of people to accept. They're used to having friends and, you know, they're real close. That's wonderful. But honestly, your spouse ought to become your very best friend. You should be looking out one for another. You should be encouraging one another. But if you don't get in the Word, it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna be some kind of miraculous thing that takes place without the Word of God. We need to establish those family altars if we haven't already. Husband and wives, you need to maintain your relationship in Christ with each other to grow closer together, to do. But men, we have a wonderful thing that we can present our wife to ourselves, a glorious person. Not having spot or wrinkle, the idea that we are to be complete in Christ, even though we will never be sinless, we should sin less. Okay? And by the way, when we get older, we get wrinkles, don't we? So, kind of have to wonder the thinking there. But when you think of it, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. Period. Right? Are you reading along with me? I do this from time to time. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. Now, a self-centered man, a conceited man, a narcissistic man, is constantly working on themselves, but not for the glory of God. It's for the glory of others, that they can receive it to themselves. But when we think about this, you ought to love your wife as you love your own body. All right? We get older, and I've talked about these things. Our shapes change and things of that nature. But listen, if I love my wife as much as I love myself, that's a good start. But I need to love her as much as Christ does. Amen. And I just want you to continue to think about that. But that's how much Christ loves the church. Think of that. That's just wonderful. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, what? The church. Do you see that? Everything that we do is based on the example of what Christ has done for us, how he treats his bride. Verse 30, for we are members of his body. Not only if you're married and your wife's saved, not only is she your wife, but she's also your sister in Christ. The Bible says, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and shall cleave unto his wife. I gave you the example of the duct tape. That's how we should cleave, stick together like glue. If you rip it apart, yeah, it's going to cause damage. Oh, you may get it apart, but there's going to be just things that are not repairable. But when we think about it, we are members together of Christ, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. These men that mistreat their wives, and I hope I'm not getting in anybody's business here, because I'm sure everybody has the right kind of marriage. But when you think of this, remember, it was not good for Adam to be alone. What did God create for Adam because it was not good for him to be alone? A help me. He created Eve to complete him. God brought Eve unto Adam so that he could be completed and be working on what Christ would have him and Eve to be. But the problem is, just with Adam and Eve, it can happen with us. Satan tries to enter in right away. It's a conscious decision that we have to work at, that we have to strive for, that we're not going to let things get in between us, husband and wife, that would destroy us or our family. And keep in mind, as our home goes, so does the church. Please remember that. And as our churches go, that will affect our nation. It affects our communities, but it also affects our nation. Amen. The church needs to realize the importance of being a faithful bride unto Christ. realize that what he has done, his word that he has given us, the commandments, everything that we read in the Word of God is to help us to see what God desires for each and every one of us. That we can be that light on the hill. That we can help others come to know Christ. And they too be blessed by him. How hard are you working on your marriage? Because marriage, a successful marriage, takes work. And when I mean successful, I'm talking about the Joshua 1:9 type of successful. Based on the Word of God, obeying God. It is work. It takes being selfless instead of selfish. Look at verse 21 again. I'm going to take you back up there. Before he addressed the wives submitting yourselves one to another. I hope we realize the importance of making sure that we are working, that we are fighting, that we're doing all it takes with God's help to protect our marriages, to protect our homes. In thus doing, we will protect our church. But it's going to take each and every one of us to make that decision. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you most of all for your word and salvation. Dear Father, what would we do without written instructions? Father, thank you that you took the time throughout history, using men and women who gave their lives in defense of the faith and defense of the Word of God, so that we in this day and age could have your completed word. Father, I pray that you would help us all to meditate upon what we heard this morning. More importantly, meditate on what your word says. And Father, that we would make up our minds that we will give no more space to Satan. That Lord, when he starts attacking and things start even arousing in our flesh that would make us bitter towards one another or make us vengeful one towards another, Father, help us to remember the example of your son. That we would truly be Christ-like. That our marriages would be blessed. That our families would be blessed. That our homes would be looked to as sanctuaries, as places of refuge, of peace and joy. Because, Lord, we know out in this world there is division on every side. There is conflict everywhere. And there's much uncertainty in this world. But, Father, help us to rest upon you, to allow you to truly be that cornerstone in our life, and that we would build upon it so that you would be pleased. Father, please help us. I ask that you would be with the singing and the preaching that's about to take place here in just a few. Lord, please bless these services. Help us to be attentive unto your word. Work in our hearts as only you can, that you may be glorified and honored by all that we do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.